I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck. The mission of Smashing the Plateau is helping solopreneur experts build more stable and consistent recurring revenue in their business. Smashing the Plateau is part of the Best Network, providing expert individual and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands our goal of the show, helping solopreneur experts get the recurring revenue they deserve. To learn more about us and Best Network and schedule time to speak with me about how to smash your plateau, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. Today, we have a special episode of Smashing the Plateau. I'm pleased to welcome back Teresa Fetti and Mark Monchek, who have both been guests multiple times on Smashing the Plateau. Teresa grew the largest independent trust company in Nevada from $300 million in assets under custody to more than $4.5 billion. She's a thought leader within the alternative asset industry. Teresa motivates, leads, and inspires teams to be customer-focused and performance-driven to achieve exceptional results. She's known as a leader that utilizes company culture to drive performance and success. Mark has 35 years of experience as an entrepreneur, advisor, coach, and consultant. His Culture of Opportunity book and Amazon bestseller and program provide the strategy, systems, and tools to take organizations to the next level of sustainable growth. The program has been used by J.P. Morgan Chase, the Stanford University Distinguished Career Institute, Adorama, Mappos, and many other organizations to achieve measurable growth. Teresa and Mark, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, David.
So, Teresa, why don't we start with you? I know you and I have talked about this before. You're in a really competitive business. I know here in New York, there are tons of people that do what you do. And I'm sure where you are, that's true as well in Las Vegas. How did you build the largest independent trust company in Nevada?
Well, I kind of fell into it. So as any entrepreneur will tell you, I think a big chunk of it is luck, is being at the right time, being prepared to being able to take the opportunity on. So, you know, through education and what I was doing in my law firm, it gave me the ability to seize the opportunity when it came across my desk, which was to purchase the trust company. How I built it, though, from $300 million to almost $5 billion, and then sold it this last January, I still believe it's a team. And at the end of the day, that's what it is. You could sell widgets. I could have sold anything. It's about building a team that all feels like they're going in the same direction and they all feel part of the success. And that's what I think that I accomplished with that group. The reason we had double-digit growth every single year that we were in business was because this was a family. We created a family.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. And let's turn to Mark. So Mark, how did you become an expert on collaboration and empowerment?
Through making a lot of mistakes, through trying things, and through a lot of adversity. So in the book, I talk about, you know, the first adversity that I had is when I first got married. My wife and I bought a house in Brooklyn. 6 days after we moved in, somebody tried to burn it down. A couple of days later, they stole the four beautifully hand-carved fireplace mantelpieces out of the front door in the middle of the night, came back, got the stained glass windows, and then everything else that was worth anything. And we moved back into this house with no heat, no hot water, no electricity, no windows, and no kitchen. So through that adversity, I've learned to say, what's the opportunity? And by that thought process, I've learned a lot about creating collaboration and empowerment, because I realized you don't do anything of importance by yourself.
Yeah. So you both clearly have an emphasis on team building and understanding that opportunities sometimes show up. And at the same time, adversity can be very difficult and very challenging.
Yep.
So Teresa, when you've focused on team building, what experience have you had trying to build a particular culture in your company?
Well, when you focus on team building and you're trying to build a culture, culture emerges sometimes whether you like it or not. And so one of the things I've learned along my journey over the last decade is there are some things in my culture that are super amazing. And there are some things in my culture that I needed to coach out or change something in my system because it emerged from what we were doing. So for example, I have a strong push toward work-life balance. And, you know, as long as no matter what success we have in the business, if you don't have success at home too, then it's all for nothing. However, when we went through some really hard times and that, you know, for a lot of years, things were super easy and the people worked from 7 to 4 and it just wasn't that hard. And then around 2015, 2016 hit and my staff had to put in some long hours trying to right the ship on a couple of decisions that we made that just weren't that great. And at the end of the day, I was dealing with a staff who felt that, you know, what do you mean work overtime? What do you mean we have to work past 4 o'clock? And, you know, it's amazing. I thought I was really good to my people and working 40 hours a week, but somehow along that process, I created a culture where they did not feel that they had to put in the hard work when it was necessary. So I had to end up coaching some of those things out. But then, you know, in that same vein, some of the good parts of my culture also came through all that team building. And those were things like we took the entire staff to Disneyland when they hit their goal. And that was an amazing experience to bring them and their loved ones and their kids. And still to this day, they talk about those things. And what my team probably remembers the most is they remember experiences more than they remember. If I would have wrote them all a check for, you know, $2,500 or $3,000, it would have went in their bank account and they never would have thought about it again. But this is something they'll remember for the rest of their lives.
Teresa, what advice would you give someone who is facing a roadblock in business where the culture seems to be working against being able to solve it? Like you just described an example where you really needed your people to put in extra time in order to overcome a major challenge. What advice would you give someone, whether the business is the same size as yours was when you were dealing with this working time challenge, or even for a business that might be significantly smaller?
Sure. So one of the things that I think that we did really well when we did set up our culture and is that I've always been a leader who believed in direct communication. And when I say direct, I mean always delivering the message with the intent and the honesty that the message is supposed to have, which is sometimes it's a hard conversation, but you don't have to say it in a mean way. You can deliver it respectfully to somebody, but you do have to be able to tell them the truth. And because we'd done that, whenever we had something take a right or a left turn that we didn't expect in our culture, we were able to have those really tough, honest conversations about, hey guys, this is a little bit screwed up and let's talk about why. And when we do that, we'd have to create a different way of doing things and the employees would have to commit to doing it differently. I'm not saying it was always the easiest thing to get out of your culture when you definitely have maybe bred something that you didn't know you had bred inside your culture. But as long as you can continue to have those open conversations, you can definitely coach it out, I think. And we were able to do that on multiple occasions.
Do you think that it's helpful for a company to have some kind of written document that has something to do with the cultural norms?
So most companies do this through their core value statements, and those really are your culture. And if people don't think that that's their culture, one, they probably didn't get their core value statements right. Because I found that everything that we bred inside our culture had to do with our core value statements, including we were working on a new initiative inside Provident for accuracy. And, you know, one of my employees said to me once, he said, you know, accuracy has to deal with a lot of rules and a lot of doing things right inside a box. He's like, Teresa, have you ever noticed that the core values of Provident are all outside of the box, don't follow the rules, that type of thing? And it was one of those statements that hit me upside the head where I had to agree with him that absolutely the culture I had created and the core values that my company stood upon we're all about thinking outside the box and not following the rules. Yet here's something that was very, very important to a company like ours, a financial institution, where you absolutely have to get things right and follow the rules. And we had to figure out a different way to implement that inside of our culture, where we still adhere to the entrepreneurial principles that I think was the reason for our rapid growth. But that in order for us to be sustainable as a company, we also had to do things that sometimes were not comfortable, like taking our time and making sure we got things right the first time.
Many of our listeners run solopreneur businesses, and they just struggle. Often they struggle with trying to build consistent and stable revenue. And very often their models involve something that is primarily transactional as opposed to building the kind of relationship with clients that become recurring revenue relationships. I'm wondering if you have some thoughts about how a solopreneur can think about his or her culture, because every business has a culture, whether it's a one-person business or many, many people. Do you have thoughts about how a solopreneur can think about his or her culture and how understanding it and perhaps taking some lessons from some of the things that you've done and you've learned, they can apply it and that will translate into helping their business model be more sustainable?
Sure. So it comes down to what you find important and what you value. And, you know, I'm giving a graduation speech to a bunch of law school students next Saturday. And I thought really long and hard. I watched all these videos, what can inspire these young kids as they make this next progression. And I'm in a transition myself. In January, I sold the company. And what kept coming back in my mind was this thing about core values and about having a purpose and about establishing what is important to you and what would you live your life by. And I look at the core values that I started for Provident 10 years ago. And those core values, even though now the new company has changed the core values to match the new acquiring company's core values, the five that I established for my company are no different for myself today, are no different than how I feel about if I start a new company, would I still believe in these driving values for myself and my new company? And the answer overwhelmingly is yes, because I think that I chose core values that at the end of the day were my own driving values of what I find important in life. And so some of those five, like my number one core value and the one that stuck at Provident was our heartbeat, was find the yes. And I just felt like in a world full of no's, that's all we hear all day long, that we should be the company that tries to find the yes for people. How do we find that way to do things? And then I had ones that were a little bit simpler, like keep it simple because we're in a very complicated business, create a better way. I just always feel like people should always be striving to do better. And that's a strong personal core value of mine. And then learn and adapt. I have 10 years of formal education. So I obviously believe in the learning system. And then I continued my learning through entrepreneurial college, whatever you want to call that, business. But I believe that you can, as long as you're learning and you adapt your life to what you're learning and you don't continue to make the same mistakes, that's what true learning is. And then my fifth core value was attitude of gratitude. And if you're always grateful, even for the bad stuff, and truthfully, if I look back at I'm turning 40 this year, the last 40 years of my life, everything bad that happened to me was the best thing that ever happened to me. At the time, it didn't feel like it. At the time, I wanted to crawl up in a ball and do whatever, but always I can look back in those times when I have perspective and they shaped me or made me think a different way or caused me to go in a direction that made me 10 times more money than if I had gone the other way or kept me from making a decision that really would have hurt me in the long run. All the bad stuff always ended up being good stuff. And so if you can always be grateful for whatever happens to you because it's just your course, it's supposed to build you. I think those are things that are important. So at the end of the day, culture is built out of what is your own driving force. As the entrepreneur, you create that driving force. And it just happens to be what you find most important.
And Mark, what experiences have you had trying to build a particular culture?
We focus not on the culture directly. We focus on the business results that define success in our company with our clients. So for this year, one of our key goals is to significantly improve the experience of all the people that work at the Opportunity Lab. And the measures that we do that are, number one, financial, to be able to have a specific amount of money that we have accrued from our financial success to go towards bonuses for our employees. Secondly, to have a designated budget and plan for each employee and partner for their professional development. And thirdly, to have a work-life balance where people feel like they can pursue the life that they want to have outside of work within the boundaries of doing a great job for our company. And lastly, that they really enjoy working with us and for us. And that is measured by a survey. So that's how we build culture, is defining what success looks like, measuring it, and then working towards it.
And then would you say that culture evolves from that?
Yeah, because I think culture really evolves to me. Permanent, sustainable culture, which is always evolving over time, really evolves from what you focus on. So you could say, I want to build this culture, that culture, but if you have no measurable business results that support what you want to create, it's really an idea. It's not something that you can actually measure and hold yourself accountable to.
So with that said, what advice would you offer to somebody who's running a solopreneur business that is trying to achieve different kinds of business results, particularly something that is more sustainable than what they have now? And are there thoughts as part of that advice about how they might relate that to culture?
Sure. So the first thing we ask our clients, and this would apply to a solopreneur as well, what is success for you? What do you believe is the success that you want to create, and how are you going to measure it? So as far as culture, they would need to define some goal that is measurable that would help create the kind of culture inside their business and with the people they deal with that they consider a success for them. So let's say, for example, the solopreneur wants more free time. So success may mean that I have 20 extra hours a month that I not currently have to be able to do whatever I want that is not specifically related to work. That's something you can measure. If it's a financial measure, you say, I want to create X amount of income so I can take a better vacation, more vacations, give money to charity, whatever that is, that's a measurable goal.
And what thoughts do you think they should be having about culture in the background as they're thinking about these measurable outcomes?
I think they need to understand that to reach the measurable outcomes, they have to dedicate the resources to it. So they have to actually spend some time working on it. And if they're a solopreneur, then they probably need to have an accountability partner outside the business. So it's not just them doing something in isolation, but they have somebody that can give them some feedback, that can give them some insight into themselves to help them stay accountable to what they've committed to, and then they can help the other person. And there's a growth that happens with, let's say, two solo entrepreneurs who are working on similar goals that can support each other so they don't feel like they're all alone.
That sounds great. Teresa, whom do you know personally who's done a remarkable job of smashing the plateau?
I feel like I know a lot of people who have smashed it. I do like to surround myself with people who I believe are constantly smashing the plateau. But one of my business partners who owns a thriving company, Sean Ono, he's killing it every day and building a team. And he's got a team of 200. I always think people like him are amazing. My friend Xavier Peterson, who has a staff of 1,000 people. I always wonder how people are able to drive staffs that are that large and be successful. I feel like I'm surrounded by people like that every day. I'd probably have a list 100 people long, but those are the two that strike in my mind right now.
Sounds great. And so you mentioned you're at a crossroads, Teresa. What do you think is coming up?
Well, for me, I definitely have learned that it is very difficult for an entrepreneur to be an employee. and not because everybody wants to say it's because we're difficult. And we are. We're probably the most difficult employees ever. But I just think it's coming to grips with that's not how I'm wired. And that's not ever going to be a place that I thrive. But leaving my team in a good place is important. Leaving the company who bought my legacy, that's important. So I'm going to work on that transition over the next year or so. And then I'm going to look for my next big thing because I'm only 39. So there's got to be one more thing, right?
For sure. I think there has to be one more thing no matter how old you are.
Yeah.
There's got to be a good reason to get up in the morning.
Exactly. Something that drives you.
Exactly. Yes. Well, Teresa, how can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
You can still go to trustprovident.com. And I'm still running that company full time and still growing that team. So if you're interested in a self-directed IRA, you can still go to trustprovident.com. And that's probably the place to learn about me right now. And then be looking out for whatever I come up with next.
And Mark, whom do you know personally who's been successful at smashing plateaus?
So over here at Arama, we have our CEO, Barry Litwin, who I believe you have interviewed before on Smashing the Plateau.
Yes, I have.
He has really created an amazing culture here because we have focused on our 7 core values that we defined in our strategic plan this year. And one of them, I'm proud to say, is named after my book, Culture of Opportunity. And as part of a culture of opportunity, we have made significant improvements to the quality of the building, the quality of the workspace. And now we're working on a professional development program. So our associates, here at Arama can have a chance to learn, to grow, to get some classes that they can do online, some in-person coaching and training they can get with somebody that we're going to be bringing in. So I think Barry's done a phenomenal job in smashing the plateau for what has occurred here in the past and what is going to be a great future for us.
He's a great example, and it was great having him as a guest on this show. So thank you for making that connection as well. Mark, how can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
They can take a look at my book, Culture of Opportunity, How to Grow Your Business in the Age of Disruption, which is available on Amazon. They can look at our website, which has a lot of content, including our OpLab TV videos, of which we have about 25 or so. And that is OpLab, O-P-P-L-A-B .com. And in there, you can see our various social media links, which is LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. And through all that, they can contact me. If they have a specific question that they want to engage with me on, they can get me at markm, M-A-R-K-M, at O-P-P-L-A-B.com, markm at OpLab with 2Ps.com.
Great. Thank you. Sounds great. Well, Teresa and Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to join us again on Smashing the Plateau. My guests today have been Teresa Fetti, president of Provident Trust Group, and Mark Monchek, president of the Opportunity Lab. Thank you again, Teresa and Mark, for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm David Schreiner-Kahn. Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau. The mission of Smashing the Plateau is helping solopreneur experts build more stable and consistent recurring revenue in their business. Smashing the Plateau is part of the Best Network, providing expert individual and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands our goal of the show, helping solopreneur experts get the recurring revenue they deserve. To learn more about us and Best Network and schedule time to speak with me about how to smash your plateau, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. We want to help you smash your plateau.